Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Hi, everyone. This is Natalie Jean, c'est Natalie Jean, and we are on Chatting with Nat. And today I have the honor of having Marina Heath from the band Crashing Atlas. A hard rock band from Maryland, Crashing Atlas sound can be described as eclectic, with high-flying guitars and electronic experimentation. I love that. Their debut full-length record, Black Sky Sunrise, is out now. Crashing Atlas is set to embark on a new chapter in their journey as they put full focus on writing and releasing their work in the great music city of Nashville, Tennessee. Their latest EP, Call Me Hysteria, is available on all streaming platforms now. Let's give her a round of applause. Hi, Marina. How are you?
Hey, girl. I'm good. How are you?
I'm still hanging around. It's 2024, and I'm still
We're
here.
Still kicking.
In this crazy world. So let me ask you this. Obviously, in the past, I don't know, 4 years, we're still going through stuff. In the past 4 years, we have seen a pandemic. We have seen tsunamis. We've seen earthquakes. We've seen assassinations. We've seen violence. We've seen school shootings. We've seen shootings and shootings and shootings. We've seen a lot of things. Pandemic. Polio tried to make a comeback. Measles. I don't know. Everything tried to make a comeback. You know, and during that time, a lot of people started to think about what they wanted to do with their lives because, my God, we knew that life was short, but, my God, life was telling us life is really short. If you want to do something, go do it now. This is your chance to do it because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So during that time, you know, you're in a band. You know what you're doing. You know what you want to do. Did something shift? Did something change for you? Or did you say, you know what? I know what the band is about. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to change anything.
Definitely the first one. I mean, girl, you're right. The world is like out to get us lately. I don't know what is going on. It is crazy. I would say, so I've been through like a lot of different things in music and stuff. I've been in like 4 or 5 different bands since I really started to do it when I was like 15 or 16. Around 2020, I had just left my first band that was kind of like a warm-up starter, you know, figure out how to do it kind of band. And I joined Crashing Atlas, and I also joined this, like, cover band in D.C. Basically, we played all these, like, bars and clubs and stuff, and we just played Mr. Brightside and Stacey's Mom, like, all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun, but I would say the biggest takeaway I got from all the craziness was, like, do I really want to be still in D.C., you know, just playing these clubs and, like, not really moving forward with my music and, like, not really taking the leap and playing it safe and all that stuff. Like, that's just something, like, I think I needed a big kick in the butt to move forward. So that's what I took out of everything that's been going down.
I love it. I love it. You decided, boy, I need to make a change. I need to do something. So something did shift for you, or something kicked you in the ass and said, you know what? You need to do this. I love it. You know, it's important for us. One of the things I think for me with the pandemic is, like, I'm a fearless type of person, but it made me even more fearless. It's like, I've had COVID 4 times and my body's just like, I just don't care anymore. I'm just like, it's either you go hard or you go home. That's my philosophy now. So good for you. Good for you. Now, how did you get into the music industry business? Did you just come out of the womb and you were like, I'm going to do music? Or was it something that you heard or saw? What was it that made you say, okay, Marina and music, that's it?
Honestly, I tried to, like, I was just really insecure about it when I was a kid. Like, I was always, like, idealizing all these artists and stuff. I was, like, so obsessed with, like, Avril Lavigne, and then I got really into, like, Paramore, iKem, and, like, emo music and stuff. And, like, I was always super sucked into it and really, really into it and interested, but I was super insecure. I was like, I don't look the part. I'm not talented enough. I'm not good enough. So I put a lot of my focus in other stuff, like sports, whatever, but it just, you know, sometimes when, you know, the one thing you really care about is always on your mind, it kind of just happens. Right. So I didn't get lessons. I didn't do anything like that. I just was so into it. I was like, oh, I really love this song. I want to learn how to sing it. I want to learn how to play it. And it just kind of grew from there. And then eventually I was like, I want to see how good I can actually get. I want to see if I could actually play a show. I want to see if I could, you know, put anything out online, see if anybody would like it if I wrote a song, you know, what would happen. And it just kind of kept snowballing. It was just a test my limits thing. It was like, maybe I don't suck as much as I think I do. Maybe I should keep pushing, trying.
Oh my goodness. Now, what genre did you start out with? Has it always been this eclectic sound?
It's always been like rock music. I love pop music, but honestly, it's just like, I'm not a pop girly, like, by nature. I've tried to write pop music so many times, and it just ends up sounding like, the closest I can get to a pop song is like a very 2000s Kelly Clarkson kind of song, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm like you. I mean, I'm not, I started out by doing jazz, and I've done almost all the genre out there. Now I love, you know, country Americana that time, or country rock and stuff like that. So I completely get it. What do you love most about being an artist?
I don't know. Like, the creative aspect, of course. It's just such a big thing. It's like, I've just been doing it for so long at this point. It's like, what's your favorite part? It's just changed so much. Like, before COVID and before I was in Crashing Atlas, I just, like, mostly did it for fun. You know, I wasn't thinking too hard about it and how successful it would be and how much money I can make and if I could do it for a long-term period of time. I just was, like, playing with my friends, you know, and it was just like that over time. It's gotten more serious, it's gotten more business-oriented, and, you know, it's been a little bit of a disillusioning experience that it's not as, like, shiny and glamorous as I kind of imagined it would be, but it's as fulfilling as I imagined it would be. So I guess that's my favorite part, is that I feel very fulfilled.
And what do you think is the hardest part that an independent artist has to deal with?
Money.
Yeah, the lack of it.
Money, period.
Yeah.
It's just, you need money to do it. People don't talk about it enough. I mean, like, I guess it's a little easier these days if you're more into, like, making beats and stuff like that. But because you can Billie Eilish it up and just do it in your bedroom if you want.
Right.
But for rock bands, it's like, getting gear and recording time and, like, you have to, you know, all these microphones and, you know, it's a lot. So you need money to do it.
Yeah, no, money is the key, because obviously it costs a lot of money to create an album, EP, single, whatever. People think, oh, we just sit in our room and just, like, okay, voila. No, you have to market, you have to promo, you have to do all these things. And and there are thousands of artists, millions of artists that are out there trying to do the same thing. The key is to, you know, for me, I believe it's all about authenticity. So how important is authenticity for you and your band and your music?
It's absolutely important. It's part of the reason why I needed to kind of make a jump and come to Nashville and try something different. It's because for a while I was like, I was writing what I felt like I needed to write. And then I think eventually I started shifting towards, what do I think, you know, like, my audience wants me to write? What do my bandmates want me to write? You know, what do other people want me to write? And I didn't feel particularly like myself anymore, you know, being all, like, down and isolated and just, like, doing the same thing over and over and getting the same results. So I find that right now in my current creative endeavors, now that we're working on another album, stuff, I feel a lot more like myself. And I feel like what we're writing is going to reflect that for sure.
Awesome. Now I'm going to play your song Hysteria. Tell me what that's about.
Call Me Hysteria. That was, I wrote that song in like the end of 2022. And honestly, the whole EP was just like a painful EP to make. It was just really difficult because I was just going nuts. I honestly, I kind of felt like everybody around me was sick of me. I felt like everybody thought that I was crazy. I felt like everybody was looking at me like I was having some kind of mental breakdown, and I wasn't sure if they were right or not. I was like, are you guys right? Am I actually like just being completely nuts? So am I just going insane right now? Like, what is happening? So honestly, a lot of that song is like kind of mental breakdown vibes.
Hey, we all have them. Whoosh, Lord. Here
yep.
we go.
Yep.
That's you guys. See, I don't listen to the songs when they're sent to me. I like to hear them on the show. And my God, you have such a powerful voice. You remind me of the lead singer of Evanescence.
Oh, thank you. I love Amy Lee.
I mean, yeah, she's really good. I mean, if they ever need somebody to replace her, I think they should call you.
God.
Yeah.
Do not put that on.
Do not put them on. I mean, you're that damn good. I mean, because, wow, that's really good. That's amazing. So how do you market and promote your music? We have to be on every damn social media site that there is known to man, right? To promote, you know, back in the day, people would go into radio station, give their little record over, and they say, oh, we might play this. And then that, sometimes they would just play it. Now you have to be on every social media site. And then it's crazy to me that some reviewers still want CDs because nobody has anywhere to play it. I do have an external drive and I have an old Mac that I can play certain things, but I really don't use it that much. So how is it that you market and promo everything?
What we do, it's just been, it depends, you know, like this last EP that we did, Call Me Hysteria, it really didn't get any promo, like at all, because we were just in such a transitional phase. And like I said, I was like, I have such mixed feelings about this EP. I'm proud of it. I think it's a really cool hard rock EP. It's got like a really cool group of songs.
Right.
But like I said, a lot of the album or the record is about feeling really disconnected, you know? Sort of how I treated the record, I guess, while it was coming out was like, I was like, I don't know how to push this to people. Like, it's confusing and it's complicated. We had a much easier time with our Black Sky Sunrise album because we did a really, really awesome fundraising campaign for that record.
Okay.
And like we, you know, the whole independent thing, it comes down to money. And sometimes it's like, yeah, you can't just shoot out an email and say, hey, please play my song. You know, you have to invest in your music. So it's difficult.
Now, have you ever heard of the Indie Bible?
Yeah, I have.
That actually is a good investment. I've used that before. I mean, the other things that I use is Play MP, but they're expensive, so I won't even go there. But one of the things I was thinking while you were talking about, you know, not really promoting the EP is that you could have just used TikTok and talked about how difficult it was trying to promo the album, because a lot of independent artists get that. A lot of people understand that. And you know what I mean? You could have like some of the songs playing in the background. That's free.
I know. I have such a love-hate with TikTok. This is another thing. I actually, I'm on TikTok the other day talking about this because I'm not going to lie, girl. I have not been in the mood to show my face online for like months. I have just been in such like I need to like regroup. I don't want to be online. I'm like doing those like, you know, I'm down to do it now. I'm feeling a lot more like out of my shell, but like with moving and everything, I was like, I just don't want to get online and be like, hey guys, like save ourselves. You know what I mean? It was just, I was just not in a place to do it. I'm in a better spot now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I have a friend that's like that. She doesn't like to get on the social media at all. I mean, she's on Facebook and stuff, but I'm like, you got to do those TikToks. And she's like, oh, I know. Because she has merch to sell and all that stuff. And she just doesn't like it. She doesn't like to talk about herself. She doesn't like to do any of that stuff. And I get it. Because I, during the pandemic, I did this TikTok university thing. And they were talking about, they had some like university online thing. And so they were like, oh, you should do 5 videos a day. I'm like, and talk about what? I mean, it's hard enough to come up with one idea. Obviously, if you have a song, EP, blah, blah, that you're trying to push, you can start talking about that. But to do 5 a day is just like, so I started to do really stupid shit. I would go singing in the rain. I would do all kinds of funny things. And what I found out about me, yeah, I can post my music on TikTok and I'll get like 200, 300 views. But when I talk about world issues, that's where I blew up. I would start talking about things that were happening in the world and people were just, oh, they were laughing. I gained more followers doing that. But there are times where I was like, I'm not in the mood. Like, I'll go a month or two and not post anything. And that has just been my branding. It's like, and then when I go on there, I do like 6 at a time and talk about many different things. Like one person was like, oh, you should go live, which I haven't done yet. But the whole The whole social media thing is exhausting.
It's exhausting. So annoying. There's parts of it that I love, but lately, and I'll just be, like, super candid about it, like, a lot of it for me is about, like, weight fluctuation, you know? Like, my weight has just gone, like, so up and down since the pandemic, honestly, and I just am, like, I feel, like, so gross right now. I don't look like how I want to look, you know? I like, impulsively chopped my hair off last year. I was, like, I need to change everything. Like, I was just, like, going through thing, you know? So I just was, like, I don't want to be on camera. I don't like it. I don't look the way that I want to look. So right. I just don't feel like, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny. No matter how somebody looks, everybody goes through that. Where they're like, oh my God, look at the, like, I'm going through menopause, right? And so the menopause thing is like, some of it is like your hair starts thinning, and my hair starts thinning, and I've been wearing my hair back, or I put a baseball cap, or different types of things on my hair. But you know what? You have to get to a place where you just don't give a damn. Because,
sure.
You know.
Yeah, it's a woman in you thing, you know, like it's hard to disconnect like how you look from doing this stuff. It's just, I feel like we just overthink it too much.
Exactly. We overthink it too much. And, you know, it's funny because when I first started in the music business, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to ever sing on stage. I was extremely shy. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do it. And you know what? One day I was just like, I'm just not going to care. I'm going to do my thing. They're either going to love it, they're not, whatever. And then that's how I got over stuff. It's like, no one is perfect. People go through their ups and downs. When the pandemic hit, I gained weight. But you know what's funny? I didn't realize it until I had to go to this awards thing and I had to put on a dress and I'm like, well, why is this fitting like this? And then I saw myself in the picture. I was like, oh, hell no. What is going on? And I got a Peloton and I started to do it 2 hours a day and then dropped the weight. But it's like you have to get to a point where you just don't care. You just don't care. It does not matter what people think. And I think we also live in an era where people are more accepting of different body types, different types of looks.
For sure.
That we don't have to play into what quote-unquote society deems as perfection or beauty or whatever the case may be. And the thing is, we're not perfect all the time. And let me tell you, the irony is that on TikTok and social media, those are the videos that do the best. And in the course that I took, they talk about being authentic, people crying, people, you know, talking about their weight, people not liking the way they look, this, that. People got together because a lot of people could commiserate and said, oh, my God, I'm going through the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But each individual has to get to that point by themselves and say, oh, you know what, who cares? I'm just going to get on here and do my thing. But I completely understand you. I completely understand you. I mean, you can write a song about it.
Yeah, I never really thought about it too hard before 2020, I don't think. But, like, I had this, like, this breakup at the time, and he was, like, my body changing. And I felt like I was getting, like, feedback from people that I never asked for in the last couple of years. This kind of thing, like my business, my body, like all that stuff. I felt like I was getting feedback from certain people in my life that I just really didn't appreciate. And it's just been messing with me. And, you know, like I'm working through it now. I'm like, you know, I'm picking back up. And I'm like, I know I'm gorgeous, you know, like it's fine.
But sometimes you
don't want to get on camera and be like, come listen to my song. You know, I'm like, I feel bloated as hell. Like it sucks.
It's well, you know what? It's funny because you say that because I'm like, I'm going to do like a series on menopause because people just don't get that shit. I mean, there's weight gain. The hot flashes are insane. I mean, during the pandemic, I didn't sleep for, 5-6 months straight because all night long, I'm literally wanting to rip my skin off. It's just, and it's funny because when I was younger, I didn't like having a period either because I had bad cramps and I used to pray for menopause. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing ever in life.
Bring back the cramps.
bring back the cramps. So I completely understand you. Now, how do you get inspired to write a song?
When I was like a kid and I was younger and I was like figuring out writing, I was always kind of like on the ball with it. I was taking notes all the time. I was like, I'm going to write a song a day. And then eventually I probably around, you know, like between 2019 to like 2023, I would say, I was just over it. But, and I honestly don't feel so inspired to write lyrics when I'm out and about anymore. I don't think about it when I'm at home. I don't whatever. But when I'm in the studio and I have a really sick track, I'm like the type of person, I hear the song and I'm like, I know exactly what I want to write about. And I sit there and I just bang it out, like on the spot.
That's amazing. I wish I could do that. I can't be forced to write. It has to come to me. Like I'll stare at a screen, or I still write on paper, stare, get mad, throw things, and then go to bed. And then when I wake up in the morning, there it is. It hits me. The inspiration just hits me. And I'm just like, where were
but
you?
See, that's the thing. I hate staring at the screen and like waiting and like getting mad at myself and whatever. Like,
right.
So, you know what I find is that sometimes when I overthink the song too much before I go into the studio, working on it, that a lot of the stuff that I wrote beforehand gets trashed anyway. That's just how it goes for me. So like a lot of the time I like the pressure. I like having, you know, like people to bounce my ideas off of in the room. You know, it's just fun. And then I have to commit to it at that point. I don't have to sit there and overthink it for 2 weeks before our studio. We find the right, you know, hook. And we're like, does that sound good to everybody? Let's go track it. And then it's just, it's committed, you know, that's it. I like that.
Yeah, I love that. I wish I could do that. You know, I'll be honest, the place I get most inspired is in the shower. I come up with the best songs in the shower. And I'm like,
girl,
I'm telling you,
I have the best song ideas ever in my dreams all the time.
I have these
dreams and I have the best song ideas. I'm like, I just wrote a hit, and then I wake up and it's gone and I'm so furious.
You're like, damn.
It makes me mad. Like I'll be like, I know the song was good, I just don't remember what it was.
Doesn't that suck? I mean,
it's so annoying.
And you're in the dream and you're like, oh my god, da-da-da-da. And sometimes I will dream of a song and I'll try, you know, when I wake up, I'll try to remember. I'm like, oh my gosh, this age thing, menopause and all kinds of things going on in the world is just driving me crazy because I can't think anymore. I completely get it. I completely get it. Oh my gosh. OMG. That's all I have to say. Now, do you guys prefer, well, I guess, Do you ever perform in like an intimate setting, or is yours situated like more of a large crowd?
I wish I could do more intimate shows. I like that kind of stuff. Like the kind of music that we write, it's just like low tuning on the guitars. It's just too hard to break down into acoustic stuff. Like, so I can't really do it, but I would like to. I just can't.
Would you ever be open to writing for somebody else?
Absolutely. I would love that. That's kind of like half of why I'm in Nashville is I'm like, I want to meet other artists, help and like hop in and stuff. The only thing is like, I need to learn how to rein it in a little bit if I'm going to join other people in the studio, because I always kind of have that like lead singer thing when I'm in the studio and I'm like, it needs to be exactly how I be, you know?
Yeah.
And like how I sing it and how I want it done. You know, I always have to take some kind of like, you know, stubborn role a little bit sometimes in the studio, because otherwise like nobody's gonna listen to me and make decisions for me. So
I love it. You know what you want. That's important. That's great, because a lot of people don't. You know, I find that, you know, the world is just interesting with the different types of artists and bands that are out there. There's some bands that are a tribute band. There's some people that want to be like Taylor Swift. There are people that want to be authentic. There are people that, you know, they just want to make money. So there's a variety of people that are doing many, many different types of things out there. And it's pretty interesting to see. When I first started out in music, I used to just listen to the music, actually, never the lyrics. Now that I do music, I listen to the lyrics, and I'm always like, oh my God, that's very interesting. I would have never thought of to use this word. Like for me, I like using words that you don't normally hear in a song just to make it interesting, you know? So what would you say is one of the most unique words you've ever used in a song?
I'd have to like rack my brain because I don't care for all the lyrics I write off the top of my head. I don't know. I'm definitely playing around with some of the new stuff that we're writing. Like I'm kind of trying this new thing where I'm thinking of like buzzwords a little bit and I'm writing those down. Like I want to use that word in a song. So that's kind of what I'm playing with a little bit. It is very Taylor Swiftian.
Taylor Swiftian. I'm gonna ask this. What do you think about and I don't know if you're into country music, about Beyonce's new album?
I haven't listened too much to it. Like I'm not super into country music. That's not really my thing. I love pop music. Like
no, you gotta love what you gotta love. You gotta love. My thing, you know, is funny. Everybody, oh my God, it's a great album. I mean, it's a good album. It's Beyonce. It wasn't going to do bad. She has great fans. But she has a lot of fans that just love her. The album could have been doo-doo, and she would have charted at the top. That's just what it is. My only problem with her is that she always, like, she has songs, not on this particular album, but she'll have a song that has 27 writers on it, and that's just ridiculous to me. It's just stupid.
It's kind of crazy, but you know, like do what you gotta do, girl. Like Beyonce, I look at her, I don't know how much, I'm not like Beyonce fan in the world, but right. Like I look at her more like a performer than anything else. She's an entertainer, she's a performer.
Yeah,
I don't really look at her and I'm like, what writing are you putting out lately, you know?
Right, I agree 100%. Now I am going to play the song Capacities. Tell me what that's about.
Well, here's the funny thing is that is the demo name for the song. This is the second time I've done this in my music career, and I'm honestly ashamed. I just couldn't think of a title that I liked enough, and that was the demo name for the song for some reason. But honestly, we were just like, it makes sense. Let's just keep it. And I think the fans like that song the most off the EP. But
really?
I think so. But it's basically about kind of what I was telling you that I was just like, I was back in Maryland and I was just like, I'm playing all these clubs, I'm like, you know, I'm just bartending, I'm bored, I'm uninspired, I don't know what to do. And I was just like, I am just losing all of my motivation, all of my effort for this, and like I just don't, you know, I just don't have it in me anymore. That's kind of what that song's about. And I was like, I justified the title because I was like, I'm at my capacity, you know, but it's just the title.
I mean, I like it. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could I like having titles. I like titles that don't even match with the song. It kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. So I like it.
That's
so let's play it.
My energy is a memory of a time.
Wow. That's all a person can say is wow. I mean, you're a boss, that's for sure. I mean, your vocals are amazing. Have you ever thought about going for sync and licensing?
I would love to. I honestly just I don't have the connections.
Well, you can join. So, okay. There are different, so the supervisor, the Guild of Music Supervisors, that's, how much is that? $100 a year, I think, to join them. There's also, I can email you some stuff, but there's also this thing called TuneFind. Now, TuneFind is something where it'll list all the different shows and the type of music that they're looking for. So that's actually free. You just go into it, and then you have to find the people themselves. One young woman I interviewed on the show, she actually loved the show on Netflix, and she found the producer, and she decided to write the song. And she found the producer, director of the show, and she decided to write the song for the show because she really loved it. And then she contacted the person on Instagram. The producer director loved it and put it on the show. So if there's a show you love, or there's a movie you love, or there's, because you can find the people and just send them your tracks.
Crazy.
The other thing that I would tell you to do is, the site, it's called Disco. I think disco.ac, if I'm not mistaken, but it's also a site where you can just upload your music, and this thing is like $10 a month, but you just upload your music. You can set it up like different types of playlists, and some of the playlists can be like, you can say it's holiday music, or this would be a horror scene, or whatever you want to call it. And the thing is, a lot of music supervisors use that site to find music. So there are ways for you to get into it that can be very cheap and free.
That's really cool. I mean, I definitely need to look more into that. We didn't worry so much about it with the last couple records, but I think that's going to be something that we're going to like put some effort into with this next batch that we're writing.
I think that your music would also do well in video games. I mean, even if you took out the lyrics, the vocals, I mean, the vocals are great and might work for a certain video games, but even if you took out the vocals and you just had the music, the instrumental part, you guys could make a lot of money, a killing doing that. There's also
we could use some of them.
Yeah. I mean, I should share with you, there's a lot of different music libraries, sites, people that are always looking for music. You can submit to them, and they'll tell you if they can add it to their library or not. I mean, and that's free. So, you should definitely do that, because your music has so much potential to be in many, 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 many different things. The other thing is, you know, with again TikTok, you can try to get influencers to use it, or even different brands. Like one of the
that
things
is what we're.
Go ahead.
We're going to aim towards that. We're aiming a lot higher, I think, for this next record. We have like eight songs done, and we're doing another three like next month. And I'm just like, I'm really stoked. I think that what we're doing right now is really, really cool. And I think that, like, you know, it's gonna travel a lot further than we were able to do with the last couple. Because the first record we wrote during COVID, and like our band was a little bit like stuck to Maryland, and now out here, like, you know, the limits are not really there anymore. We're a lot more able to go out and shake hands and show people what we got, and like, you know, I'm just excited about it. I'm just really happy about it.
Awesome. I love it. Now tell me one last thing. Tell me three things you wish you had known before you got into the music industry.
One, not every song that you're in love with is a song that everybody else is in love with. Just because you love it doesn't mean it's great.
True.
Two, don't take everything so personally in your writing. Mm-hmm. Everybody that you're writing with is just trying to make the song as good as it can possibly be, and it's not all about you, and it's not all about your instrument, and, you know, you're just – and I say this for instrumentalists, too. It's not just a vocalist thing, you know.
Right.
Don't take it so personally. Like, it's not a personal thing. It's a creative space, so people take things personally, and it's an emotional thing. It's a vulnerable space. Like,
right.
It's not personal. It's professional, you know?
Right.
And three, and this is a harsh one that I do wish I knew when I was younger, is just because people are your friends doesn't mean that they're going to go the distance with you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Like, you can be besties, you can be close with people, but at the end of the day, like, if you want to make it all the way through, like, you got to have that Hayley Williams mentality. You got to have that Amy Lee mentality. You know, you got to have that, like, you got to have that mentality that it's like, if you want to make it through, like, don't let the fact that you care about people hold you back from accomplishing your goals and your dreams. You know, like, I hurt some feelings, but, like, if you want to protect people's feelings, then sure, don't do anything. If you want to move forward, and I'm not saying I'm here to, like, step on people's hearts and, like, screw over friends and stuff. I'm just saying, like, I'm the type of person that, like, just worries about how everybody else feels all the time. And I don't really take a second to think about how this is going to affect me. And lately I'm trying to push myself on a path where the decisions I make are more in favor of what's going to benefit me at the end of the day.
Hey, you have to. You have to. Like, I'm a person that does things for people all the time, but one of the things I realized, listen, if you're not good, then you can't be good for others, you know? And you have to do stuff for yourself because you are important. You have your own goals. So amen to everything that you said. I love your answers. Those were the best answers ever. Love it.
Thanks.
Well, Marina, thank you so much for being on Chatting with Nat. I learned a little bit more. I love your voice.
You are
a powerhouse. Powerhouse.
Thank you.
And if Evanescence is listening, if you ever get rid of your lead singer, Marina Heath is for you. Because she's that damn good. And if anybody wants to check out your band, they can go to www.crashingatlas.com. Thanks again for being on the show. I can't wait to hear your new album. I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much, Nat.
Thank you. All right, everybody. This was Chatting with Nat with Marina Heath from Crashing Atlas. Now, you know, if you want to get into this thing, just don't stream her music. Buy the music. We need to make money. Indies need to make money. We make a little type of money from the streaming, but you know what, support an artist, go see their shows, enjoy their shows, buy their merch, do everything. Until next time on Chatting with Nat. On Chatting with Nat, if I could find my clip. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.